Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. It's pretty clear that the internet gives us access to more information and services than most people have ever had before. That, by most people's standards, is a good thing. On the other hand, using the internet subjects most people to having information about their interests and tastes and their personal proclivities amassed by strangers in a way never before possible on such a large scale. Use of the internet, in combination with other modern information technologies, makes most of us metaphorically naked to government spies, corporate surveillance, and scammers of all sorts. That, by most people's standards, is not so good. And with the advent of government and commercial drones in the skies over the United States, if you happen to be skinny dipping in your backyard pond or pool, you'll be literally naked to the high-resolution cameras these drones will be carrying. And, of course, as we've mentioned on past programs, the internet itself is becoming more and more regulated by governments around the world. Egypt literally turned off the internet in that country during the Arab Spring. China has what we call its Great Firewall. Pakistan and Iran are creating their own country-specific versions of the internet to control content. And even the U.S. is considering things like the SOPA Act to control access to certain internet sites for its citizens. Well, what to do about the coming drones is not yet clear. But for people who wish to have a bit more control over what's known about them by government or corporations, there are tools available to make ourselves a bit less visible in cyberspace. And in some places, tools emerging to make it very difficult for a government to shut off access to the internet for its citizens. On a personal level, there are tools available to allow us to surf the web and seek information without having our every movement recorded and aggregated and sold to advertisers and others. The most basic tool we can use is to take charge of the cookies in our browsers. Simply turn them off. Some sites, of course, won't work without cookies turned on. If we need to use such a site, we can turn the cookies on while we use it, and then erase them and turn cookies off when we're finished. Since some sites try to access browsing history, you may want to limit the time you keep sites you visited in your browser's history. Most browsers let you set how many days a record of the sites you visit is kept in the browser. Set it for a day or two, and the record of where you've been over a longer time goes away. Browsers also use a cache, C-A-C-H-E, to store commonly accessed information so the browser doesn't have to go out and find it anew every time you ask for it. That can also provide a lot of info about what you do online, so you may wish to flush the cache now and again. All browsers allow you to do that. Some commonly used browsers like Firefox allow us to add extensions that can help us control what others can track of our activity on the internet. One good example is a little application called Track Me Not. What it does is simply send out a bunch of random search queries to a variety of different search engines so that the actual query you send gets lost in a blizzard of requests that search engine trackers can't make sense of. It's available at http://cs.nyu.edu/trackmenot. Other browsers, such as Chrome and Safari, are making efforts to give users more control over what we divulge about ourselves and what we keep at least sort of private as we move around on the internet. If you really want to be anonymous, using a proxy server is the way to go. This is how activists in many countries manage to communicate and to obtain information that otherwise is forbidden to them by their governments. There are a number of commercial products that allow you to use proxy servers to keep yourself anonymous as you surf the web. There's also a free and open source project called Tor, T-O-R. Tor works by sending a communication through a series of secure servers all around the world. In the process, the original Internet Protocol address disappears, and the request gets bounced around so much that it's virtually impossible to tell where it came from. The Tor Project website, obviously at torproject.org, is quick to note that there are some weaknesses in the Tor system. For one thing, it takes time for actions to travel through the Tor server network, which slows down surfing or communications. For another, since the person receiving the message or file you send has to be able to read it, the very last connection in the chain has to provide the message in a plain readable format. For this reason, the Tor project suggests that people who have something to transmit through Tor that they want to be absolutely unreadable by anyone except the intended recipient, take the additional precaution of encrypting their messages. There are commercial products available for encrypting messages, or even your whole hard drive. Pretty Good Privacy, PGP, now maintained by Symantec, is perhaps the best known one. But there's also a very capable open-source encryption system known as GNU-PG, available, again, obviously enough, at gnupg.org. Even if you do encrypt messages or data, there's an open question whether you can be forced to provide the government with your password or encryption key. But you sure don't have to provide it to any other entity, and perhaps the Fourth Amendment will actually stand here as well in relation to government. We'll have to wait and see. What all these tools have in common is that they take extra effort to use. Most browsers come with cookies turned on by default, for example. It takes a little effort to turn them off. Ditto for clearing your histories or flushing caches. Tor, as we mentioned, slows down browsing, something that most of us don't like. And using encryption takes a bit of initial learning to get used to. The truth is that even though these tools exist, most people don't use them. But if you're someone who cares about keeping your business to yourself, it's nice to know that they're available if you do choose to use them. As the web becomes increasingly less free in terms of privacy and even access to websites because of the actions of government or corporations, these tools may become more and more essential for citizenship and civic life in the not-too-distant future. There are other tools, too. What Scientific American refers to as Internet freedom fighters are working on them all the time, and we'll try to take a look at some of them on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.